Good morning and welcome to Carroll International's OEM in the Spotlight. Today's spotlight shines on Cambium Networks, a leading global provider of wireless fabric infrastructure for defense, business, residential broadband, and Wi-Fi. Today we focus on Cambium's solutions for national defense. National defense, where connectivity is mission critical, Cambium Networks delivers field-proven wireless connections for military battlefield, border, garrison, and infrastructure deployments. Their solutions are most broadly deployed COTS, microwave applications, and in recent U.S. military operations. They're fully vetted by the national government. Their products have up-to-date requisite security and frequency certifications, and they comply with rugged mil-spec requirements. Today, we are joined by two of Cambium Networks' finest, Mr. Anthony Maldonado, Regional Sales Director, Federal Accounts, Global Defense and Security, and Mr. Bob Shaw, Global Defense and Security Engineer. Gentlemen, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to speak with us on Cambium's solutions, current and potential future products as applied to the varied federal and defense needs. For our audience, Anthony and then Bob, would you please just give us a brief synopsis of your roles and responsibilities, starting with you, Anthony?
Sure, Bob. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and we're looking forward to having this great conversation. So my name's Anthony Maldonado. I'm the Regional Sales Director for Cambium Networks. My primary responsibilities are for the Navy, Marine Corps, a couple strategic Army accounts, U.S. Air Force, as well as DOJ and DHS. Going on about 10 years with Cambium this summer. So looking forward to the conversation. Yeah, thank you. It's a long time.
Okay. So hi, Bob. I'm also another Bob. This is Bob Shaw. I'm the engineering manager for our GDS team. I've been doing federal and defense for 20-something years, and have spent a lot of time in all over the world, not just in the U.S., but also all of our NATO partners. We have a significant North Africa, Middle East, all of Europe, et cetera, and looking forward to talking.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so very much. I do appreciate it. But let's get into hearing more about Cambium Networks and why they are such a strong fit to resolve our federal and defense need for a fully confident and rugged connectivity. So which products are the mainstay in our federal and national defense worlds?
So we specialize primarily in point-to-point and point-to-multipoint communications. Today, our flagship radio is our PTP 700 series. It does point-to-point and also has point-to-multipoint capabilities built into it. So it provides a lot of flexibility from a configuration standpoint, network configuration standpoint. It's a very high-capacity radio. Ultra-wideband radio supports a lot of different spectrums or frequencies in one piece of hardware. And it also has antenna configurations. So it has what we call an integrated version, so for more tactical or short-haul applications. And then it also has connectors where you can connect an external dish and do those longer shots, over 100 clicks, for example. So it provides a whole lot of flexibility, which makes it very appealing in the defense space because of the different unique feature sets that we bring to the market.
Just to add on there, Bob, I know that Anthony being on the sales side and I'm on the engineering side, I just want to talk about the fact that from a supply chain standpoint, what are my biggest challenges? My biggest challenges are, do I have spare radios? Do the products work? Do I have to spare all kinds of things? Along those lines, the PTP 45700, what we call C+I, connectorized plus integrated, that radio allows me to have one device that can address the entire spectrum from 4400 through 5875 megahertz, and I can use the integrated built-on antenna, or I can use an omnidirectional antenna for multipoint. I can use a sector antenna for multipoint applications, or I can use parabolic antennas to go longer distances, like Anthony said. So if I want to go, if I need to go mountain to mountain, I might use a 3-foot antenna, where if I'm going, 10 kilometers, I might be using the integrated antenna. But I've got one device everywhere instead of all along the way.
Excellent. So obviously, very flexible and can meet a variety of needs as they change. if they change. So very good. When we talk about the PTP 700 or the Wi-Fi 6/6E tri-band, how are they setting you apart from other solution providers? I mean, specifically with, you talked about how the optimization of the PTP 700 and what was so good. And when you do DSO, the dynamic spectrum optimization, how does that figure into this and where it sets you apart from those other providers?
So to give you just a little bit of an idea, we spent a good number of years with a legacy product, the older product called the PTP 600. And we listened for a long time. We sold that radio for 12 years. And in that time frame, we sold it all over the world to many, many customers. But we did listen to what they liked and didn't like. So PTP 700 is a culmination of all those things put together that we heard. People said, hey, I need a set of six different frequency bands addressing this large amount of spectrum that I can use different places. I need one radio that can address all of that, hence the wideband configuration that the radio can address. They wanted something that was secure, hence FIPPIN 40-2 and now FIPPIN 40-3 that's coming out. They wanted to have over-the-air rekeying, so we did this. We created something that we have a patent for called TLS rekeying, which is a unique way of doing rekeying of your encryption with seamless and being seamless and secure without ever having to touch the radios and never affecting the link and the link traffic. Those kinds of things were things we listened and we heard. The other thing that's really important that we knew from all along, the customers have always reiterated, is that spectrum is your number one asset in the radio world. How can you get radios to talk if you have no spectrum to listen to? And really the listening is the important part. Radios, when they listen, they can hear and they can talk back. It's all about interference and where can I find clean spectrum. DSO, dynamic spectrum optimization, is a technology that we brought to bear. It's not just a full-time spectrum analyzer, because it is, but it's also intelligent decision-making about how I use my spectrum and where I use my spectrum. I can be very, very controlled. So I can have a spectrum manager that says, I need you to operate on this frequency only. We can absolutely do that. Or we can go in the tactical space where we're in an unregulated environment, whether that be peacekeeping or the war front. And I can actually operate where I can find clean spectrum at both ends of a link and be able to make things work where literally nothing else can. And just to give you an idea, the radio has around 300 channel centers in the 45700. Now, if I'm on channel one and we enable what we call asymmetric DSO, you can be on channels 1 through 300. I can be on channel two, you can be 1 through 300. I can be on channel three, you can be 1 through 300. That actually makes up 300 times 300 channel opportunities or channel configurations. And what we're saying with that is that if I got a radio that can actually have 90,000 or nearly 90,000, 300 times 300 channel combinations, I can make things work where no one else comes close. And those are the things that really we brought to bear on this radio, besides having really good receiver sensitivity and excellent transmit power and really good, really, really good bits per hertz. So I'm actually, when the amount of spectrum I use, I get a lot of throughput for that spectrum.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, I was trying to do the mental math real quick on the 300 times 300. I'm glad I was correct. But
I've done this before. So.
Yeah, just a few times, right? It's almost like you've read my questions because, you know, my next question is on how the your products provide the highly required security and controls. And how are you implementing those security controls within the solution? And what does future security protocols mean to your current baseline of products? In particular, you spoke about how you're already currently meeting the FIPS 140 TAC 2, and now you've got the 140 TAC 3 coming down the pike. You know, where do you see that implementation? And I mean, I obviously no secret sauce on this, but how do you see all of those controls being implemented? And are there other future protocols that you see that you're going to be incorporating?
Okay, a very good question as well. So from a security standpoint, you know, we were tasked very early on with meeting at least a minimum requirement, and that was FIPS 40-2. So our older products and our current products, we've always built that in as part of the design process. so that when we go to bring a product to market, we already have this, it's already in place. We've already done due diligence on that. So FIPS 140-2, it's not just encryption. People, a lot of times people think, oh, it's AES encryption. I can do that myself. That's really not the case. AES encryption by itself is great. And AES 256 is the standard today that we all want to have. But FIPS 140 does a lot more than that. It actually specifies how to close the insecure interfaces. Imagine you've got a radio that has SNMP enabled, and SNMP has the ability to reset your passwords or reset your security or do something else via SNMP. Well, we take all those with a FIPS 140 configuration, which again is done by software and licensing. We're able to close all those insecure interfaces. So you cannot just tell that into the radio and do a reset. So if you get onto someone's network, if there's some way to get onto the network anywhere and then be able to reach out to another device and say, hey, reset your passwords, reset your security parameters, things like that, that could cause it's a gaping hole in your security configuration. All those things are closed. So we lock all the doors. That's the important part about FIPS 140-2. FIPS 140-3 adds additional capabilities, or I should say restrictions, in that it forces some things that were maybe not forced in the past. So those are things like that. SNMP v3 requiring usernames and passwords just to be able to talk over SNMP, and closing those loopholes like Telnet, things like that. And then of course, you know, we have other things like over the air rekeying. So TLS rekeying, as we call it, Cambium, allows me to use the TLS algorithms that you use today. Every time you log into an HTTPS server such as Amazon to order dog food, you're actually doing what TLS does. TLS says, hey, I'm going to give you a public certificate. You're going to give me your public certificate. We're going to create an encrypted tunnel between those two for secure communications so that your username and password are not out in the clear. We're doing the same thing, but we're actually trading and creating new encryption keys over the link. And we can do that on this. As of right now, we're doing that once an hour. I can have new encryption keys. In the future, that'll probably be down to between 1 and 5 minutes. So imagine you've got a link that every 1 to 5 minutes rekeys itself with AES 256. Quantum computing can't keep up. That's the idea that in the future, we're still secure. And that's the really cool thing about Cambium. We're thinking about these things. And of course, we do things like support for Radius. We support complex usernames and passwords, things like that, that allow us to configure the system to be very resilient without ever having to touch anything. I mean, the users are protected.
Excellent. Wow, that's amazing. Building on that, as you talked about earlier, how you took the PTP 600 series and then listened to what the customers were saying, what they required, what they needed, the flexibility, et cetera. Now we've got the 700, another series. What does the future look like for Cambium? And are there any products that you see coming out in the near future that you can talk to us about? What's your next generation going to look like?
Okay, so really good question again. We continue to develop on the PTP 700 product line. And it has a lot of legs left. So it's not just, we've had it for 5 years. We have a long, long time to go in this radio. It does have a lot of legs, if nothing else. So one thing to mention though, is that we've decided that, you know, hey, we need to do some additional things with this product line. And we actually are creating something called what we call a smart antenna. You know, in traditional microwave, you point your antenna. The better you point it, the more closely aligned a link is, mm-hmm. the better the performance is going to be, and which is great. And we have these things like in our connectivity kit, we have something called TD90, the Tactical Deploy 90 Auto Antenna Alignment System, but that's a physical device. And that allows you to align antennas at each end and make the link much more automatic for the warfighter and the soldiers, airmen, sailors, et cetera. But what we decided was, hey, we need to do that a little bit better than that as well. And so this smart antenna actually does beamforming technology. So it acts like a 120-degree sector antenna to find the other end, okay. But then it actually zeroes in electronically. And instead of having to align your antenna manually, if you're within my 120-degree view and 30 degrees up and down, I can electronically beamform to you It's just like looking out the window and you say, oh, I see a window over there. I look at the window, right? I'm actually beamforming to that, which gets me down to the 8-degree beam width, which means I'm not transmitting everywhere. I'm transmitting to where I want to go only, and allows the warfighter to be able to get their systems up and running very, very quickly. Now, in addition to that, there's actually a very cool add-on to this, is that if I can scan 120 degrees by 30 degrees, I'm looking at a very big area. And if I'm scanning that and I'm using DSO, dynamic spectrum optimization, and I'm looking at all the interferers out there, and I'm zooming in on, and I'm beamforming to my target, I can also null steer to interferers. So if I got an interferer coming in at, say, 15 degrees off center, I can actually put a paint a null on them and drop their signal strength to literally my 80 dB down. I mean, we're talking close to a trillion times power drop, right? So the idea being that if I can paint a null on you, I can't hear you anymore. That's both interference and intentional jamming, or co-location interference that we create ourselves. So those kinds of things are things that we are bringing to the market within the next year. And it's going to be very, very cool. And of course, multi-point capabilities for those same kinds of things, auto tracking of all of our targets, all that's coming in the next, within the next year.
And just when you're able to do something like that, counter detection is minimized too.
Exactly.
I like that. Very, very good, very secure. And along those lines, so obviously defense federal markets require many different mil spec and mil standards. They've got manufacturing certifications, et cetera. What certifications are most important for our viewers and listeners to hear about?
So I think that, overall, from a certification standpoint, there's two that are just benchmarks right off the bat. The first thing is going to be that you need a spectrum certification. So in the DoD space, we call it a JF-12.
Yeah.
In the civilian and law enforcement space, we call that SPS. And SPS certification is the NTIA saying, hey, you can operate within federal government frequencies in the United States in CONUS applications. DoD side, we have JF-12, and JF-12 applies to both CONUS and OCONUS applications as well. Of course, that's my certification to transmit. Now, beyond that, FIPS 140-2, FIPS 140-3, coming forward, those are things when it comes to the security and the information assurance is really the terminology we want to use there. But then, of course, there's a couple things that go on beyond that, and it's not necessarily a certification per se, because MIL Standard 810 is a set of guidelines on how you manufacture and how you test your radio and to what, because there's many, many different applications there. You could say I'm A10H, but only say I'm A10H on these very specific things. We've actually gone way out of our way, and all of our radios on the 700 series are both A10H and MIL Standard 461, and we've done all the testing through certification houses, and we have all the test reports for all those things. And some of those have been demanded by our customers. We have the Air Force TDC program was very specific. We needed all these testing to be done. And it's not just the radios themselves, but the cases that they go in, the masks we use with them, all the components, all the pieces, they've all got to match and they've all got to work together. And they've got to be tested afterwards. So a lot of work in getting that done.
Yes, it is. But the bottom line is that when you take a look at Cambium and their products, they're out there. They're out there strong, and they're providing what the defense market needs, the federal market needs, whether it's in law enforcement or anything else. And it's a secure product. It's a confident product. You know, people know that they will have that connectivity. And let's face it, as you mentioned earlier, if I'm not able to communicate, I'm not going to be working. I can't do anything. And that shuts us down. When we look at it, what other services do you offer in addition to your products? I mean, do you do installs, or are those provided by someone else? Are you doing kitting, engineering solutions, something for customers to know and learn about the products, or how do you do those?
Yeah, so largely Cambium relies heavily on our partners to do installation, our federally authorized partners, strategic partners. But in general, we do we have a full-scale integration facility out in Tampa, Florida. That's where we do all of our kitting and staging and any kind of special configurations for customers based on their requirements. We have a team down there that is responsible for overseeing and managing the whole integration and kitting part of our business. So depending on what, you know, all the way down to, hey, we need this very specific case to, you know, include these components. And we have the ability to kind of work with our partners on building out those kits, those foam cutouts. And then, all, of course, you know, from a radio configuration standpoint, you know, hey, we need this IP address to be, you know, programmed in the radios prior to shipment. We have the capabilities to do all of that in-house prior to any radios going outside or going to the customers.
Yeah. Just beyond that, just to add in, is that, you know, not only do that, we do that staging and configuration work, and we can do that. We do it on site as well sometimes. Again, what's the customer require? What do our partners require? That being true, you know, you setting up security, helping them align antennas, things like that. Those are always possibilities. Though we like, again, we're relying on our partners, you know, like Carol International, to help us with those things. And which is great, absolutely. Now, beyond that, though, sometimes what comes up is training. Customers want training, and we have both international customers from our many FMS and DCS customers, NATO partners generally worldwide, they want to be trained on the products. And depending, you know, sometimes there's language barriers, and so you have to gauge that into your training time. For example, we had a Middle Eastern customer not too long ago in Tampa for 2 weeks, because they wanted, and they had 10 guys, you know, ranging from lieutenant colonels down to first sergeants, that they really want to know everything they could know about our radios so they could deploy them successfully. And recently enough, we had a European customer in for a week. They had all of their master sergeants and sergeant majors in, all of their trainers came in, and we had 14 of them for a full week. So they could actually go back and train their airmen and their soldiers, which they, and they're deploying. The conflicts in the eastern side of Europe are driving a lot of behavior that's causing our NATO partners to want to be more prepared. And we are right there in the mix with them. And that training is a huge component of it.
All right. So training the trainers, and that's even more important. They have to know.
Yes.
So that's who they're going to be relying upon. Excellent. Well, and, you, and again, it's almost like you've done these, Bruce, before, because it's a great segue for my favorite question is, what can you tell our customers about your relationship with Carol International and how we fit into your go-to-market plan?
Sure. So as I said earlier, Cambium's entirely a commercial or a channel company. So our team heavily relies on our strategic partners such as Carol International to not just, you know, to be really an extension of our team, whether it's from a pre-sale standpoint or post-sale standpoint, and then certainly being that extra arm to help with communication to customers and be really strategic and experienced within the defense space. That's the most important thing, to really understand the market, to understand the requirements of customers, to understand what certifications mean and why are they important to our customers. All of that is really, really important. And Carol Communications or Carol International, having that kind of background and that expertise, a lot of you know, prior service members being a large part of that, understands those requirements, and that's, you know, significantly helps our team make sure that we're providing the best kind of support and customer service to our customers.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Final question. Is there anything else you would like to share with us today? Anything we've missed or want to catch up or expand upon?
You know, I would say the only thing I would bring up maybe that I can think about, besides we are here to help, right, that we're always here to help. So we always want to make sure our customers understand that we're not in a glass house. We're not selling a product just to be able to say, oh, you bought it, good for you, and goodbye, right? Our best customers are the ones that bought our PTB 600 radio 18 years ago, and they come back to us now going, hey, this stuff isn't broken, but we need an upgrade, or we need something new. And they come back and they go, you're our guys. That's the message that we always want to make sure that our customers, and obviously your customers, really understand. And you think about where we've been. I mean, every force protection program that the US DoD has had, we're pretty much the guys. And vastly on Customs and Border, we're down at the border show today in El Paso. Customs and Border is a huge customer of ours. You think about all of our NATO partners. There's nowhere where we haven't really reached yet, and there's plenty more to go. So again, we are here to help, and they get not just today, but tomorrow as well.
And we're here to help do that too. So thank you very much. I do want to tell you how much I appreciate both of you being here today, giving us some insight, information on all that Cambium Networks does for connectivity, the products, the solutions, and how you help our national defense and our federal market provide for the safety and security of our nation. So thank you so much today, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you again so much for the time.
Thank you, Bob. And we're looking forward to continuing this great partnership together with Carol.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.